Hello and welcome to the audio ministry of Pure Heart Christian Center. We are located at 12236 Southwest 128th Street near the Tamiami Airport in the Kendall area of Miami, Florida. Please join us as a special guest speaker comes now and challenges our hearts with a dynamic message from God's Word.
I'm glad to be here. I'm excited with what I have to share with you. How many are excited to be here today? I'm hoping you'll have that same attitude when I'm done with you. I'm just kidding. Watch out. He gave me free rein. No. It was difficult this morning because I got to say a couple of words and your pastor interpreted for me, and then I kept on getting lost and trying to get back to my notes. But I think we did okay. So, but how many are ready to change this city and change this church? How many of you are ready to have God use you in a way that he hasn't used you before? How many of you, I got to move around. I'm ADHD, and if I don't move, I'm going to hang off of that ceiling halfway through this message. So, but how many of you are ready to let God climb on your back and you bring him into this city? I'm going to share that with you. Some of you are like, what are you talking about? Let me get through the message and you'll see. So what I'm going to share with you today is about living generously. And what does that have to do with what Jesus said in Matthew, my kingdom come? And I'm going to explain that to you through a passage of scripture and through my life. But first off, I'm glad I'm here today. And my wife's with me. I want you to see how lucky and grateful I am. I've been married to her for 25 years. That's Dina. She won't stand. If I make her stand, I won't wake up tomorrow morning. But I want you to see in my life and God's generosity in my life through her and how important that is. And I'm just thankful for that. I don't have any kids. This is the part my wife gets mad at me. I don't have any kids. Well, actually, take that back. I have a kid. She doesn't have a kid. We got to make that clear because she makes that distinction all the time. She's not my daughter. She's 10 years old. Some of you are like, okay, what are you doing, John? But I don't know if you have a picture. You can go ahead and put that first picture up. That's my kid. She's 10, four legs, brown, goes everywhere with me. And, believe it or not, sometimes pets are a blessing from God and God's generosity in our lives. So, even your dog, even Dennis's dog, that poor dog. There's something wrong with that dog. But what I found is over the course of our life, in my 50s now and with no kids, but it's amazing on the amount of people that I've been able to reach and bring into my life and my wife, both of us have brought into our lives that we have been able to bring in and share God's blessing in our life with them. And how we've carried them through our blessings that have become their blessings. And the reason why I say that is because when you influence somebody and you touch someone's life with what God's given you, it makes them come alongside your journey. See, most of the time when God blesses us, you can go to the next slide. When God blesses us with something, most people are totally against you. They're not happy that God's given you something. And what's happened in our life in the last 3 years have been crazy. I can't share all the blessings God's done because of the generosity of Dina and I. And it's not just about money. It's about investing into people. It's about helping people because God will bless you with something. And then he expects you to be a blessing to others. You need to bring people alongside into your blessings. And we're making a huge jump. It's just crazy. I'm content where I'm at. Plan to, die in my house. It's a great house. But for some reason, God wants to move us up the hill. I would have never thought in my wildest dreams that I would go from the bottom of a hill to the top of a hill. I had no desire. We weren't looking. See, when you're looking for something, that's when it doesn't happen. But when you're patient and you're not looking for something, then God's blessing just seems to pour out upon you that you cannot imagine what God will do with you. See, God listens to what you're saying in your heart. If you hit my age, you start thinking about retirement. We didn't really think about our 40s. At 40, I thought I was indestructible. You know, now I can't walk. I can't sit too long. My leg falls off and I got to put it back on every once in a while. But you fall apart. And then you start thinking, well, what am I going to do when I'm 65, 70 years old? Am I going to retire? And I don't have enough to live off of or enough to retire on and enjoy life and be able to do missions trips and do different things that I want to do. But guess what? God's listening. God's listening. God listened to us, I don't know, 10 years ago when we sat down and we did a list of goals on what we wanted to accomplish. And everything that we listed was really simple to obtain. But the number one goal was to give more, to be more generous, to live generous in our lives. And as we started to do that, it's crazy what God has given back to us. It doesn't happen all at once, but as it goes, it compounds into a number that you can't even imagine. Because we're willing to take a step of faith and do what God's asking us to do. So the reason why people I have found through this, again, God teaches you lessons. When he blesses you, he's always teaching you. Sometimes that's not a good thing, but you know, for the most part, when God's blessing you, he's teaching you something. And what I've learned from this is the reason why people have been so kind and gracious and loving to us, and what's been amazing in this thing is when I finally got over the mourning of moving out of my house, not because of the possession, but because of all the memories and the dogs and the family and the parties and the people that have come through this house that we have blessed. Once I got through the 2.5-3 weeks of mourning and, you know, put our house up for sale, again, I put it on social media and got in trouble. I don't know how many of you guys do stuff and get in trouble all the time. I get in trouble all the time. I just can't help it. But the outpouring of people that actually stepped up and said, and genuinely meant it, they want to come and help us move. They want to come and help us pack our house. They were actually excited that God was blessing us. And it made me realize something, that in the time of blessing, in the time of moving, that, yeah, it needs a lot of work. It's falling apart. Is the people were genuinely happy with us because I've learned that I was willing, or we were willing, to bring them alongside of us. And they got to share in what God blessed us with. They got to come over the house. We fed them. We do things for them. And we don't expect anything in return. But when God's asking us to do something for somebody, we're willing to take that step. And so what happened with this is a couple of weeks ago, actually, you know, I don't know. The guy's not supposed to be the emotional one. My wife's not emotional. I'm emotional. And a couple of weeks ago, I was packing up, and I had 2 dogs previous to that one. And I, poor dogs, I had to put them in a box. And I mean, I was bawling. I went to her and said, we can't move. I just can't do it. I just put the dogs in a box and I just can't do it. You know, it's an up and down roller coaster ride. But through the midst of all that roller coaster ride, God a couple weeks ago said to me, John, are you still going to live generously? Because last year, God put someone on my heart and was bent on our hearts to help. And it's not an easy help. It's actually turning out to be more than what we expected to help. But God's put it on my heart. And because of this, I've kind of let things go. See, when God blesses you with something, it doesn't mean that I can stop doing what I'm doing. God doesn't say, hey, John, you've arrived. You're there. God doesn't help me. I can't fix that house up, right? So God's saying, John, are you still going to live generously? And it kind of hit me. And I was just at peace with it. I'm like, you know what? I got to continue to do what God's asking me to do. And he confirms it. A week later, a close friend of mine, again, this is one of those things that people, when God blesses you, most people are against you. They're like, man, you don't deserve that. Why is God blessing you? You know, they always got something negative to say about you. But when you bring them alongside of you, it changes, right? And so he came to me a couple weeks ago and said, I've been praying for you. And, you know, I'm excited God's blessing you. And I've been praying that God will be able to give you the finances and help you to do what you need to do with this house. And he said, and what God told me, this is what God told me. He said, tell John that if the money keeps flowing, he won't lack anything. And it was like, it was instant for me. It was, God just right there said, see what I told you. Are you going to live generously? Are you going to continue to do what I've asked you to do? And immediately, I know better. It hit me and we started moving. And yes, it gets scary. Yes, that is scary to me because I'm in a comfortable place in my life financially. I'm in a place, we're not rich. I'm not bragging. It's God's blessed us, but, you know, we're okay with what we have. I don't drive the nicest cars. We don't have the nicest things, but we're in a place that we are blessed. And now I'm taking a step of faith. Why am I moving up the hill? We're not that smart, but we're going up the hill because God's moving us up there. The things that have happened with the house, the amount of times it's fallen out of escrow, it was a whole ordeal. And we thought, okay, we need to step out and do this. And God will provide, right? But we're still going to live generously. There's a guy that delivers my stuff from Home Depot. I'm a contractor by trade. I think preaching's way easier than being a contractor dealing with people sometimes. But your pastor will disagree with me. Especially after that thing he posted on Facebook about the sheep. But, you know, I told this guy, this is, you know, what was happening. And he's not a Christian. And he's like, you know what? It couldn't happen to a nice guy. He was so excited the fact that I'm moving up the hill. Why? I'm not a Christian. He doesn't understand those principles. But he understands that when I move in there, he gets to come along for the ride. He's coming over and hanging out. We're going to sit on the back deck and look at those hills. We're going to be able to hang out together at that house. He's going to come over and have a meal with me. I'm going to pour into his life. I'm going to care about what's going on in his life. I'm going to care if he's sick or he's not doing well. He's coming along for the ride. He knows as God blesses me, I'm going to be a blessing to him. It just doesn't stop because it's something that comes out of our heart, not because of something we're forced to do. It's amazing what God has done with us and through us with people that we don't even realize it. This, I think, is, for me, I'm happy with just knowing how much we've touched people's lives. I know there's so much more that God has for us, but the fact is we get blessed when we see what God does. We get blessed when we see how God touches people through us. It's part of that blessing that we sometimes neglect or we don't take seriously. So this is what I call the craziness of being generous, is when you give of yourself, your time, your money, and everything that you have, this is what God does. I know talking about generosity, someone already left, so we got to lock the door. None of you can leave. We talk about generosity, everybody's going to freak out. I thought about bringing my cousin Vinny over here and have him stand at the door and block everybody till I'm done. But generosity shouldn't make us nervous. She's back. God convicted her on the way out. But why does generosity make us so nervous? Why is it something we cringe at when we talk about giving? Because I used to be like that years ago. I used to give to what I wanted to give to. I really wasn't living the way that God has asked us to live. But sometimes we don't get that principle. We don't get how much we can impact through generosity. This is not something that I'm talking to you lightly about. This is something that as I was preparing to speak to you guys, actually I was at a totally different message and God just kept on saying, no, you're not sharing that. This is what you need to share. I even had to go to my wife and said, this is what I'm going to do. And she's like, no, I don't think you should. And this is why I'm talking to you. This is not easy. It's why am I talking about this? Because this is a principle of being generous. Isn't just money and time. It's something I've learned at the church I'm at, being involved in leadership, is it's taken me to a place where the pastor and I have invited God to be into that church to a point that that church has become a beacon of light for that city of Irvine. And this is why I'm here to you today, because I believe that when we're done today, there's a change and there's a shift in this church, that this place will be just like what we're at home, where it doesn't matter when you walk into that church, you can feel God's presence in that church, where God's going to send people that are hurting, that are sick, that are tired, who are desperate, who are struggling from depression, who have no answers, but yet there's a place here where there's answers. There's a place here where they know they're going to come and meet God. And that's why I'm here. It's not something I take lightly. It's It was hours of prayer that we have spent at that church. It's time that I've spent in prayer for this place. But I believe that's what God wants in this church. I believe that God wants to start something new this weekend. Because there's so many people out there. It doesn't matter how big your church is. It doesn't matter how big things are. Are you willing? We're singing that song, Nothing Else. Does nothing else matter to you except for being in the presence of God or being with God or being used by God? How important is that to you? I'm going to jump into the scripture of Matthew 21, 1 through 11. It's called, the title of that is called the Triumph Entry. We have that there. If you guys want to jump to that, and the donkeys. See, the triumph entry, when I read that, to me it's like something great is going to happen. And it does, because this is the start of Easter, right? Jesus died on the cross for our sins, for us to have the life that we have, for us to be healed of sickness, to be touched when we're broken and hurting, when our lives are falling apart. He's there for us. He's already paid the price for us. We don't need to suffer. Jesus already suffered for us. He's just waiting for us to come to him. So he's about to do the greatest thing that anyone has ever done in history. And it's his final journey to the cross. Verse 1. When they approached Jerusalem and had reached Bethpage, the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples ahead, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and at once you will find a donkey tied and her colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me." See, most of the time we're in that Easter story where Jesus rides a donkey, but the Bible says there was two. There was a big donkey and a little donkey. And what does Jesus say? Untie them and bring them to me. You would think Jesus would ask for something amazing, right? Go to town and get something amazing. No, he's not asking for anything. It's simple. This isn't complicated. It doesn't require much. All it requires in the story is for the disciples to go grab the donkey and the little donkey and bring them to me. I don't know, but this is a side note, but we didn't get this in the first service because the interpretation took too long. But why two donkeys? Maybe the mama donkey or the big donkey wouldn't have gone with the little donkey. Or maybe the little donkey wouldn't have gone if the mama donkey went. There's always a reason why that's in the story, and that's for a later time. But Jesus said, when you find them, just untie them and bring them to me. Very simple. Verse 3, anyone says anything to you, and you guys know when you go do something like that, God asks you to do something, someone's going to say something, right? And they will. And Jesus says, you should say, the Lord needs them. And without delay, the owner will send them with you. This happens so what was spoken by the prophet would be fulfilled, saying that tell the daughter of Zion, the people of Jerusalem, behold, your king is coming to you, gentle and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. Then the disciples went and did as Jesus instructed them, and they brought the donkey and colt and placed their coats on them, and Jesus sat on the coats. Most of the crowd spread their coats on the road as they would do before a king, while others were cutting branches from the trees and spreading them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed him were shouting in praise and adoration, Hosanna, the Son of David, Messiah, blessed, praises and glorified he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. When he entered Jerusalem, all the city was trembling with excitement, saying, who is this? And the crowds were saying, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. The first reason that generosity is crazy is you got to understand, God is asking us for something. Why is God asking for something? It's crazy that God asks anything from us or from you or from me. The fact that he sent his disciples down into town to untie the two donkeys and bring them is a little crazy because, look, we're talking about Jesus. He didn't have to spend that time to send the disciples to untie those two donkeys. He could have saved that time. He's here. He's going to do the greatest thing that to mankind that ever has been done and dying on the cross for us. And he's worried about going to untie two donkeys. He could have just said, I need two donkeys. Poof, there's the donkeys. Grab those two donkeys and let's go. Right? He didn't have to send them to pick up those donkeys. But he knew he needed to ride into town on those two donkeys. And that's what he needed to do. He can make whatever he wants, right? If this church needs a makeover, he can just go poof and there's a makeover. Pastor talked about building a new church. Man, you could wake up tomorrow, poof, and your church is built. There, God can make anything he wants at any given time. The fact that he asks me, or he's going to ask you for something that is his, that he wants to borrow, is crazy. He doesn't need what we have. He doesn't have to have that. But he wants us to be involved. How awesome is that? The fact that God has come to us and asked us for something that he's created and made and created us is something that he can make anytime. It's just crazy that he's going to ask us for something that he does not need. I want to share a story with you. When I came to, as Pastor announced, Arise Church, we had just come from another church and moving into this church, and I was getting involved in this church, and God said, hey, I need you to give like you were given before. And I was like, oh, okay, God, that's a lot. I mean, I don't know these guys. I don't know who they are. I haven't had time to research them. I didn't Google them. I didn't interview people to find out how honest the pastor is. You don't have to worry about this guy. I've known him for a long time. He seems okay. And I don't know anything about these guys. I haven't read their books. I don't know what they're going on. I'm not in their board meetings. But let me tell you something. And what God spoke to me about was sometimes when you're in a relationship with the God of this universe, you just don't need to know. What you do need to do is when God calls you and asks you to give up something that he's already given you back to him to borrow. And he's going to give it back to you. He's going to borrow it from you. Why would you not do that? Why would you not do that? See, God could have said to the guy with the donkeys, could have sent his disciples down there and said, hey, give me the donkeys. They're mine. He didn't do that. He didn't do that at all. He said, told him to say, the Lord needs them. It's just the fact that God needed a donkey and a little donkey. Look, God didn't need anything. He could have made an airplane back then, 2020 years ago or so, however you want to count. He could have just made an airplane. Flown in on an airplane, they could have opened the door and you could have stepped down off the plane, right? He could have created this huge fireball to ride on, or the biggest horse you've ever seen. He could have rode on the back of angels into town. You see, he chose not to do that. He chose to step down and get on a donkey and a little donkey and ride into town. And this will be another message for your pastor to preach, but sometimes we get caught up on our high horse. Maybe when, because Jesus rode into town, we can get off our horse and get down low. Because Jesus came into town low to be exalted up high. That's the Bible. That's the Bible. That's the message of the gospel, is you come down low for God to be exalted. And sometimes we get caught up in that, and we have a tendency of getting in the way of Jesus riding into town. See, it's crazy. It's crazy that God needs something from me. You see, to me, this is another, I don't know if it's the craziest part, because the donkeys, I'll get to that, or to me, it kind of blow my mind, but this is crazy. Jesus rides into town on the backs of ordinary people like you and me. That's what the donkey's representing, is he could have come any way he wanted, but he came on the donkey and the little donkey. And he says, that's how I'm going to ride into town. I'm going to ride into the town I'm going to ride into this town on the backs of Joe, Steve, and Susie, on the backs of the pastor. I'm going to ride on the backs of you guys, and I'm riding into town. I'm not going to come into Miami on Air Force One with the president. I'm going to come into town on the backs of ordinary people, and not just the ordinary people. He's going to arrive on the generosity of ordinary people. You see, it's the ordinary person in the eyes of God that give extraordinary to the person, to the purpose of God, is what makes the difference, is how he's going to ride into Miami and change this city. Yeah, it's a small church. I come from a small church. But the things that you can do in a small church, no one else can do if you're willing to do it. You see, the donkey owner, we can take a lot from him. He set off a tidal wave by giving up his two donkeys. He didn't know what was going to happen to him, but by him giving up his two donkeys because the Lord needed them, set off a chain of events that changed the world. There's no reason that with our generosity and what little we give to God, we'll do the same thing, can set off a tidal wave in the city, a chain of events that will change this city. There are so many people that need you in this city. You see, when he came into the city on the back of those two donkeys, the city was stirred, right? They said, who is this? See, this is what God's thinking about this church. He wants to ride in on your back. And as he comes in, he wants people to say, who is that that's riding on your back? Who is that? And that's what he's after. He wants everyone to ask that. And how's that going to happen? Well, how's that going to happen? Yeah, through good preaching. I know he preaches good. Sometimes a little long. But he preaches good. Look, having a church, people coming into church is going to do that, right? Worship. We're going to have worship. You guys are going to live lives like God expects us to live, a godly life. Also by being loving to people that come in the door, welcome people, let them be a part of our lives. But let's face it, it's not going to happen unless God comes in off our backs, the generosity of us as people who come to this church. That's how God's going to ride into this church. Because if you're not willing to give of yourself, he's going to have a hard time coming through that door. See, God knows if you're generous with your money, you'll be generous with your time, because it goes hand in hand. I'm still amazed through this process how crazy it is that God's willing to ride onto my back into the city of Irvine or into here to speak to you guys today. See, the third point, generosity writes us into the story of God. You guys catch that? Our generosity writes us into the story of God, but our greed will write us out of the story. Your greed will keep you from getting all the blessings that God has for you. We're not all the same. We're not. But our blessings are all the same. The amount of blessing that you guys can get is no different than what I get and what God wants to do to your life. It's not a prosperity gospel. I want to make that clear. This has nothing to do about you give and you're going to get this. This is what the Bible says. This is just something we've been really deeply involved in the last 3 years that I'm just mind blown by what God does, because I'm willing to step out and do what he asks. See, it's those little acts of our responsiveness to God, God's prompting, that write us into God's story, right? God chooses to write us into the story. We weren't in the Bible back then. If we were in the Bible back then and you had two donkeys to give to God, you would be in that story. It might be Dennis in that story because he had two donkeys to give, but it wasn't. But the fact is, you're willing to give something now writes you into the story now of God. It writes you into people's story. It writes me into the story from the guy from Home Depot. It even writes me into the story from people from my church. God writes me into that story because I'm willing to give what's his back to him, that he can borrow, multiply it, and send me up the hill. I don't understand it. The joy I get from just giving back to me is plenty. The more he gives, it's just, I'm still blown away by what he's done. And if you look throughout the Bible, you have the guy, the boy with the two fishes, right? I think the disciples went and the kid didn't have a choice. I think the disciples just snatched it from him and said, get out of here. But it's the fact that the kid walked in with the food and handed it over. And in his generosity, fed 20,000 people. Just by his generosity, walking in there, willing to give something up. It doesn't take much. It doesn't take much for God to multiply that much. If he can multiply two fish and a few loaves to feed 20,000 people, what's he going to do with a couple of dollars, and how much is he going to give that back to you? You understand, God's multiplication is crazy. How do you multiply two fish, five loaves, 20,000 people? You can't get there. But yet God does, right? See, God chooses to invite those he loves, you guys, myself, into his unfolding story. We don't get written in, like I said, because we're important. We get written in because we're generous. We're willing to step out. It's crazy. God doesn't need anything we have. See, the promise, the scripture I read, was made 500 years ago. Zechariah wrote this, 9:9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and endowed with salvation, humble and unassuming, in submission to the will of the Father, riding on a donkey upon a colt, a foal of a donkey. That was 500 years prior to Jesus going into Jerusalem. And one man's generosity fills God's destiny for that city, fills God's destiny for Easter, for Jesus dying on the cross. I can't help but wonder what God's promise is for this city that would be fulfilled and done with your generosity, and you're going to get written into the story of God. One guy gave up two donkeys for a little bit of time, change the course of mankind. What will happen with what you give up of your time, of maybe what you're doing with your life that can change the course of history? We know a lot of people that have changed the course of history by just answering the call to God. So here it is, the fourth point. You always get back more than what you give. This is the part that sometimes makes myself nervous, makes us nervous. We're talking about giving, but we're all human. We're made of flesh and blood. We all want things. We all have needs, and God understands that. So I want to put it in terms for you, in real terms, that if you give anything to God with a heart of generosity, guess what? You get it back. I'm not telling you that. That's not me. It's written in the Bible. It's written in the Bible. God said that. You get it back. You don't just get it back. You get it back with a crazy amount of interest. You get very little, and God gives you a lot. Because God takes that little and stretches it out. It doesn't take much. When you live in generously, you find that your bills and everything gets paid, and all of a sudden, you've got more than you need. And God's able to bless you because God makes that grow. He changes our heart. He changes our attitude. He changes what we think is important and what isn't important. You see, the guy got the donkeys back. They didn't kill the donkeys. They didn't crucify the donkeys. They crucified Jesus, not the donkeys, right? The donkey ride was probably about an hour total, maybe a little longer, depending on how fast they went. And the donkey owner got to follow Jesus, right? The donkeys were never out of his sight the whole time Jesus borrowed them. He was right behind here. He's probably going, man, this is awesome. Look at my donkeys. They're doing pretty good right now, you know? And he's probably going, please don't take off running. Please don't take off running. You know, if you ride horses with your pastor, I hear he likes to kick your horse so it takes off running. So be careful. But he was walking behind him going, man, this is great. My donkeys are doing awesome. They're doing so good. See, Jesus continues down, gets into the city, gets off the donkeys. So the disciples, here you go. They give him his donkeys back. They don't keep it. They don't do anything with it. It's not dinner. He gets the donkeys back. When he got the donkeys back, he went back, tied them up. He probably went home. He's probably married. Who knows? I'm going to guess. So I'm going to write the story in myself. He probably goes home, and after he ties the donkeys up in the stable or outside, wherever they were, he goes in his wife and he goes, "You're not going to believe what just happened. You're not going to believe it. These guys came and asked me to use my donkeys. It was crazy. They put coats on the donkeys and I let them take the donkeys and I followed behind them. But they put this guy on it and people are throwing their coats on the floor and palm branches and branches on the floor for my donkeys to walk on. My donkeys got to walk on that stuff. It was absolutely crazy. People were singing. The band was killing it. The worship music was phenomenal. They were praising God. I couldn't believe it. My donkeys were in it. Are you going to be in it? Are you going to put your time in it? Are you going to put your money in it? See, this part for me kind of blows me away. If you got animals, you kind of understand that they understand things. I believe the donkeys understood what was going on. I believe the donkeys knew that the Messiah, the Savior, was riding on their backs into town. I really do. I believe they understand what they're doing. They're probably in the stable chatting away. If the worship team wants to come up, I'm about to close. They're probably in there chewing, you know, whatever they give them back then, alfalfa or who knows what they had back then. But they were eating, and the little donkey goes to the big donkey and says, "Can you believe what happened today? Can you believe we got to walk on those coats? We got to walk on those branches? Do you realize who sat on my back? Who got to ride on my back into town? Can you believe what happened? How awesome would that be?" Not for you guys to be the donkey, but to be able to stand here, come into church and look at your pastor and go, "Pastor, can you believe what happened to me yesterday? Jesus got to ride in my back. I got to change lives." I'm going to share a story with you. I didn't share this in the first service, and some of you don't boo me out, but I do have a bad back, and I'm against yoga just for some of the principles it stands for, but I finally came to terms with it because I was having a hard time getting out of bed. Cairo's like, "Man, you better start stretching." Anyways, we went on and on. So I found a place I would go to, and I was really struggling with some of the teachers. And I would tell my wife, "Okay, I'm not going back to that class. Okay, they don't say anything." And so I finally, figured out how I'd get into class. And during the quiet time, I would be praying, or sometimes they would, touch you or move you into a position. I'm like, "Okay, God, if they touch me, just let them feel you," and I go through that whole process with them, and I didn't realize, I'm there for my back, but something happened a couple of weeks ago, and Jesus rode in on my back in that yoga studio. So we're in class, and about 15 minutes into the class, they tell you to put heart center, and the lady's like, "Come down and breathe, put your hands together like in prayer," and she goes, "Look, I just need to ask you to send love to my dad. My dad's in a bad way. He was diabetic, so they couldn't really do much to his heart. He was going in for open heart surgery to see what they could do, but they promised they couldn't do anything because they thought the veins were too thin." Man, God hit me in that studio. God said, "You need to go talk to her after class." And I'm like, "Me, God? I ain't going to do that. What happens if, and he's like, "I want you to tell her that you don't believe in sending love, but you believe in a God that can heal her dad." And I'm like, "Okay, God, are you going to show up if I do that?" For me, that's my biggest struggle in faith, is not coming up here and talking to you. Yeah, I do want to make sure I bring something that God wants me to share. But my biggest struggle is being able to have that step of faith and, you know, God, who cares if God shows up or not, or know that God's going to show up. And I'm like, so God and I argued for the last 45 minutes of that class. And so I'm like, and I'm rolling up my mat, and I'm kind of patiently waiting for everybody to leave, you know, the room, and kind of go in the front. They leave. And so kind of everybody moved out, and man, I just knew it in my, you know it, you know, and I'm like, okay, I got to go. So I walked up to her, and there's still a couple of people, and I started talking, and I kind of looked back to see if everybody's out of the room, you know, you don't want anybody here. And I see these heads, two heads pop out of the door, you know, I'm like, oh, dear Lord, help me. And I looked at her, and I said, I want to tell you this. I don't believe in sending love, but what I do believe, I believe in a God that can touch your dad. See, God sat down and told me and said, John, you're going to plant a seed today. You're going to plant a seed in this family's life, in this girl's life. You're going to plant a seed because she doesn't believe in that. She believes in, I don't know what you call it, whatever it is, the cards or I don't. And God says, no, John, you're there to plant a seed. I had a purpose for being in there. Yeah, I pray God heal my back, and I can't figure out why God's healing my back, and it hit me in that studio. I don't have to have a strong back for God to get on my back and walk into that studio for me to plant a seed in that lady's life. And I had, it was crazy. I had no fear. I had nothing. I just looked at her and said, can I pray for you? And I started praying. I don't even remember what I prayed. And when I was done, I looked at her, and she's wiping the tears off of her eyes. I'm wiping the tears off of my eyes. I mean, God was in that studio. And so I didn't think anything of it. I told Pastor, I texted him, like, dude, you're not going to believe what happened. I told my wife that night, and I was just, that was the most amazing thing. But the fact is, I was willing to let Jesus get on my back and go and do yoga with me. And Friday she comes back and she says, and I walked in, I looked at her, and I'm like, you know, I want to go, what happened? What happened? And half of me's like, okay, don't say nothing. Don't say anything. And so I went in, set up, waited for class, and she started class, and she goes, you know, I got to tell you, and this is what she said. She goes, I want to thank you for your prayers, as she was looking at me. And then she said, thank you for the love you sent. And she said, they were able to help my dad. The artery was thick enough to put a stent in. They're going to go back now, and they're able to replace the valve in his heart in 3 weeks. She goes, so I will be asking you for more prayers. You see, are you willing to step out and live generously? It's more, yes, it's about you're giving your money, and it's also about giving your time. Let me have every head bowed and every eye closed for a minute. I don't know anybody, really. I don't know a lot of you that's here. We've come to church on and off the last 25 years, and some of you are here, some are new faces. But I just want to give you this opportunity that you might be saying, John, I don't know anything about this Jesus that you are talking about. I know nothing about him, but I do want to know this Jesus. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I do want to pray with you real quick, but I want to give you a chance to get to know who this Jesus is. I don't want to skip this opportunity because I've learned in life now that you never know what happens tomorrow. But if that's you, I want you to raise your hand. Just going to give you a second. Now here's what I want to do. I want to give you guys a chance to respond because I really believe that today is an important day in this church's history and in your life. And we're going to sing that song, Nothing Else. And I want to give you a chance to respond as we're singing this song, to come up front here. Because nothing else really matters except for what God wants to do with you in your life. I really feel that. And I'm not sure if it was for the first service or this service. I really feel that God's been tugging on someone's heart here. That he's been calling you to do something for him. I'm not sure exactly what it is, but there's something you've been fighting. He's asking you to do something that maybe you're not comfortable with. Maybe he's asking you to do something in another country. Maybe he's asking you to I don't know what he's asking you, but there, you need to respond to God. You can only run so far and so fast until eventually you're not happy. Life doesn't have all the meaning it should. But here's the response. If you want to step out and live generously, as crazy as it must sound, is I want to be like that donkey, right? I want Jesus to ride in on my back. You know, if you're unwilling to tie yourself off of that pole and say, here I am, God. God, use me. I don't have much, right? The widow with the two mites gave the most because she had the least. It doesn't mean you got to come with a Ferrari. You just need to be willing. You could say you want to be a willing donkey. You just want to come up here and say, here you go, God. Here I am. So as we sing this song, I just want to invite you to come forward and we'll pray for you.
Thank you so much for having joined us today for this impacting message. I trust that God has touched your life through it and stirred in you a renewed passion for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our Lord is faithful and he wants to touch your life in a powerful way. He alone can meet your deepest needs and give your life meaning, no matter what situation you may be in right now. So be encouraged, friend. Trust him and be assured that I will be praying for you. If you are in the Miami area and do not have a home church, why don't you come out and join us? We are near the Tamiami Airport in Kendall and located at 12236 Southwest 128th Street. Our service times are Sundays at 9 a.m. in Spanish and 11 a.m. in English. God bless you. I look forward to meeting you soon.
Well, thank you for being with us. You've been listening to Pastor Dennis Penton and the audio ministry of Pure Heart Christian Center. It is our prayer that this message has been a challenge to your heart and your life. If you would like prayer, please call the church office at 305-969-7873. We would love to have the opportunity to connect with you in prayer. For more information about us, visit our website at www.pureheartchristian.org. And also, while you're on Facebook, make sure you visit us at the Pure Heart Christian Center page and click on Like Us. Until next time, may God's Spirit bless you mightily.